The name of the show is Rabble Rousing, and your host is almost Chamberlain, because I'm almost back from Burning Man. So this is the Burning Man special show, like it or not. Before we get started with Burning Man, there's an announcement, and I have an addendum to that announcement. There's a town hall meeting, an educational forum on the U.S. healthcare crises and single-payer healthcare. It's this Monday night, September 8th, 8 to 10 p.m. Doors open at 7:30 at the Nevada City City Hall, and that's going to be broadcast live on KVMR. So I want to tell you a brief story, because when I got back from Burning Man, a friend of mine had a health emergency. He had a hernia that was popping out. I had to take him to the emergency room. The emergency room was very cooperative, and they filled him full of painkillers, and the doctor looked at his hernia and exclaimed that, wow, that's a big one. We're going to do surgery either tonight or tomorrow. Guaranteed it needed surgery. Then they found out that this fellow was a veteran, and he was entitled to veterans' medical benefits. Suddenly, the surgery was off, and they gave him painkillers, they popped the hernia back in, sent him home, and told him to go up to Reno to the Veterans Hospital and get it taken care of there. So what's the point of this story? In any other country, in any civilized country, any country that has national health, that would have never happened. The patient comes first. In America, the greatest country on earth, of course, the patient comes distant second. Economics is first. So my take-home lesson for all of you to pass on to your friends, if anybody ever tells you this is the greatest country on earth, please remind them that a great country provides health for all its citizens. An average country provides health for all its systems, for all its citizens. This country is pathetic. All right, the phones are ringing already. Hi, you're live on KVMR.
Yeah, I just wanted to, before you get into your Burning Man,
yep,
without interrupting you, last night's convention, I thought it was pretty interesting. I called it the two spokesmen. They were the Neo-Pinocchios. Not much nose growing, but lots of throat clearing.
Okay, good distinction.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, this is the annual Burning Man show, which means we're going to talk about Burning Man, which means you're either going to listen to me and a friend in the studio do all the talking, or you guys are going to phone in. So you're welcome to phone in with your experiences at Burning Man, either this year or in prior years, or if you have any questions about Burning Man, you're welcome to do so. You can phone in at 265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. And those of you who are listening that do plan on phoning in, I urge you to phone in early. Don't wait until the last few minutes when the phone's jammed up and you can't get through. Okay, somebody took my advice. Hi, you're live on the air on KVMR.
Excellent. I was going to say, even after such an amazing time, it is kind of hard to put it all into words.
Yeah.
It's always a beautiful time. It's my second year out, and it's more amazing each time I go out there. Each time I come back, you just kind of appreciate the finer points of what the world should be like.
Okay. What was your favorite experience out there?
It was my first night on the Temple Burns Sunday, and that was pretty cool watching all that and just everyone around there.
Yeah.
And then especially how it turned into like a total whiteout afterwards in the rain, too. You just appreciate you just coming out of like nothingness, and you're just reestablishing yourself in the world. Yeah, but it's just an amazing time, and I appreciate you doing this. I was listening to BlackRock radio off there, and it made me appreciate how well you guys do at KVMR.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, you guys take care, and everyone have a good time. Let's see you next year.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your call. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hi, this is Ellen.
Yes.
Or Miss Bubbles, however you'd like to say it.
Miss Bubbles sounds great to me.
All right. So what do I say about my Burning Man experience? This year was an amazing year. I drove in with my son for the first time.
How old's your son?
He's 19.
Okay.
It's our third burn together, and packing up and getting all the things together was part of the adventure all year.
Let me interrupt just for a moment here, because if this is his third burn, he started when he was 16, is that right?
17.
He went
with Todd Andrews and the Cockroach, the art car.
Okay, so my question is, a number of people have asked me if this is a suitable experience for kids. Do you think it was suitable for your 17-year-old?
For what he was doing at the time in his life of the art and the experience he had, yes, it was the most amazing experience for him and for me together on my first bird that I met him there. And as time progressed, we ended up being able to arrange it as he moved to Portland and came back and arranged it that we could drive in together. And we had the most amazing experience driving in with the sun setting, coming in, finding our camp right away. Welcome home. Thank you, Gary and Faye and Richard, all those. And
Ellen, keep in mind that for most of our listeners, they're not going to understand all of that inside stuff.
Right, I understand.
So for the listeners, what was your favorite experience this year?
Oh, boy. I have to say, riding out to the temple the morning with you was amazing. Thank you very much. That was the most amazing day, just spending the whole day at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And
why don't you describe the temple, what the temple is, for people that might not be aware of that?
Well, boy, this year it was, I don't know if I can describe it yet.
Oh, okay.
I haven't really digested it.
All right, then how about if I do that just briefly? The temple is, every year they create this edifice way out in the playa, and it's the theme is about honoring the people in your life that you've lost in the last year. And you're invited to write messages on the temple itself, which is a wood construction, to write messages to those beloved that you have lost. And then on Saturday night, Sunday night, the temple is burnt.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and it's a wonderful ritual.
Right.
Okay.
And also, just not even writing to the people you've lost, but the people that you really want their life to expand and to...
Good point.
That was part of it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience also, I had an experience this year because of Burning Man. In the previous years, I experienced going to Peru with the Burners Without Borders group, who is a big group out there that actually just finished the project today, this morning, with Habitat for Humanity, collecting all the recycled wood. And it was the largest collection they've ever made. And they're donating it all to Habitat Humanity in Reno.
Okay. Now, Burners Without Borders, you were with them down in Peru. They were doing
a
project down there.
Yes, through the project that they started 2 years ago with, well, maybe it's 3 years ago when they went over to Katrina and started the project. And
okay. Ellen, we've got another listener that wants to call in. So do you have any last message for us? And if the air goes dead later in the show, you're most welcome to call again.
Right. It was an amazing experience, and I wanted to say, for whatever experience it is for anybody, each year is different, and when you learn to just go in there and surrender and just be with the moment of whatever flows with it, and if you don't see the art, you do see the art, you see whatever you see. It's the experience you're supposed to have. And
terrific. So it's really about surrender.
For me, it's surrender and just being there.
Okay. Thanks very much for your call.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Caller, you're live on the air.
Chamba, Sam Gorski here.
Yes, ma'am.
Got a little dust in my lungs.
I don't know why.
Oh, man, it was another great yin and yang experience.
Okay, give us the yin and the yang.
The yang is all the dust eating away at your skin and
your,
you know,
lungs and your nasal tissues and every orifice.
Yeah, and adjusting and feeling seasick and not being able to ride a bike, and because the dunes are so high this year because we had no rain. The yin exploded like never before, though, for me out there, and that's the, you know, feeling a real strong sense of community that I've yet to felt out there, because I'm such a part of this like small microcosm music community that we're, you know, so tied together that my last 3 years I've gone out there, I felt a little overwhelmed. Like it's more of a big city and I'm more of a small town girl. But I felt this energy that everybody always talks about there. I felt it, but it was, I guess I just started feeling more comfortable out there.
Okay. And that's a very important point, is that for anybody that's interested in Burning Man, you can talk to 20 different people, you're going to get 20 different stories, because it becomes such an individualized experience.
It is very individualized, and it's definitely not an overused cliche that you get in what you put out.
Yep.
I felt just like me times 10, and I would go out there on the street. Camp was on the Esplanade. We had this glitter disco bar, and I would go out there and swing around this lotus flower and drag people in and get them to drink at our bar and listen to our music, and that was a lot of fun. And I happened to run into a lot of very smiling, loving people. I met a lot of Europeans. It was just amazing. I saw a lot of great art and great inspiration within the city a lot this year, within camps. It was very hard to get out onto the open playa and experience a lot of the art that I have in years past. But at the same time, I felt that was very rewarding, was to be in the city a lot more than I had in the past.
In a sense, it forced you to get to know your neighbors more.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that was very rewarding.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and just a quick aside, and that is when Sam mentioned that she wanted people to come in and drink at her bar, there is no money at Burning Man.
No,
people set up bars all over the place. It's amazing how much energy they put into creating these the atmosphere and the ambiance, and then they give drinks away.
Yeah, there's inspiration and motivation just at an all-time high. I mean, even if people are having, you know, an uncomfortable time, or maybe the city's a little too big, or you know,
this or the other.
Maybe the weather was bad on the first day and the last couple days, but the whole middle of the week was gorgeous. And let me tell you, I mean, it's so bizarre. You don't know what to think. Being like, am I an environmentalist? Do I really care? I mean, about the impact, is it worth this beautiful city? I'm not quite sure. You know, what are we doing here? It is so beautiful out there, and it is so open that it actually pushes me into an agoraphobia state sometimes. But I really want to learn all the names of the mountains around there. That's my big goal. And what I want to do next year is I want to be able to tell people I meet every name of every mountain out there in that desert.
Okay, Sam, we got some more listeners. Thanks very much for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Hi.
Howdy. You're live on KVMR.
Oh, okay. There's a delay on my radio. I was calling because I've never been to Burning Man, but now I'm starting to hear a lot about it. And I'm also of some friends who don't go anymore because they're disgusted with how big and commercialized it's gotten. The other thing I wanted to say is, as you know, Amy Goodman and journalists in this country now are getting the crap beaten out of them, and there's infiltration by the Secret Service and the FBI. Do you see that happening at Burning Man eventually, that there's going to be infiltrators from the government and
Okay.
So I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Okay. Thanks, Chamba. Bye.
Law enforcement at KVMR. There has always been a law enforcement presence there. One of the reasons is because it's an ideal training ground for law enforcement. So what I've experienced is an awful lot of the law enforcement I've seen, they're young guys. It looks to me like they're just out of whatever police academy that they've been through. And this is a great opportunity for them to practice what they've been taught in the school. And one of the reasons it's a great opportunity is you've got upwards of 40,000 people and virtually no violence. So it's a very safe environment for them to either, quote, do their job or push people around, depending on their nature. And there's a little bit of both going on. As far as the head cracking that she mentioned, Burning Man is not really political. There's some people that are political, but it's essentially not political. So, no, I don't see it evolving into a head-cracking thing. because the bottom line is the power sends the cops after the activists when they're afraid, when there's something to, you know, when somebody's trying to change the status quo. And Burning Man is very benign in that regard. The other thing she mentioned was commercialism. And sorry, there's no commercialism out there. They sell ice. Burning Man sells ice, and they have a coffee bar where they sell coffee, tea, and drinks. That's it. It's the only time you see money out there. The people that put out incredible effort creating art, creating art cars, they're not rewarded for that at all. So I would have to dispute your friend's statements that it's in any way political. I'm sorry, in any way commercial. And we have a guest. I have a friend in the studio that was also out there. Maria, did you feel like this is getting more commercial over the years? Or?
No, it's not.
Oh, wait a minute. It would help if I had your mic on now. Yes.
No, that's actually the great pleasure that I get in being at Burning Man is that it's not commercial. There is no exchange of money. People are gifting people with different things, be they small tokens of love or appreciation.
And some amazing gifts.
Some amazing gifts. Some books, some music, some gemstones.
Chocolate.
Chocolate for sure. Food.
People running around at the burn offering chocolate just blows me away. Blows me away.
And yes, Burning Man is getting bigger. Like this woman was saying that, you know, she's heard a lot about it, but she's not been there. And, you know, good things grow. And
yes,
people talk to other people, and that energy catches on, and you go, gee, I think I want to go to Burning Man.
My advice is everyone should experience it at least once. And then you decide if it's really your cup of tea, or thank you very much, I've done that. Okay. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hi, this is Beth Moore.
Right.
And
Your voice is breaking up. Are you on some sort of a remote phone?
I am. Is it still breaking?
Yes, it is.
I'll try to call you back.
Okay, thanks very much. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hi, this is Lady Bianca. How are you?
Excellent. What do you have to tell us?
Can I speak to Tom Myers, please?
Who?
Tom Myers.
You're live on KVMR on the Burning Man show. Is that what you want?
No, sorry.
Okay.
Close, but not quite.
Hi, you're live on KVMR on the Burning Man show.
Hello.
Okay, and you'll have to turn down your radio because I can hear it in the background.
Well, that's Chamba talking there. Okay, let me turn that down.
Oh, well, then turn it up. I want to hear him. He might even say something intelligent. You never know.
I turned him off for a second. Hey, this is Ted. I met him down there. I want to talk to him.
That's me.
Oh, this is Chamba?
You got him.
Hey, man. Is this a tape I'm listening to?
No, you're as live as you're going to be. And there
I'll be damn, man. Hey, yeah. I want to tell you how much I enjoyed talking to you. I'm the guy at the trike, remember?
The trike, yes. Yes.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing excellent.
You know, I can't even tell you what I went through to try and get this. I started about 8 o'clock this morning trying to get your channel, and I had to reload stuff, and, you know, it was a mess. Remember,
okay.
I know why you don't get it. Anyway.
All right, so we've got hundreds or thousands of listeners, and they want to know what your experience was at Burning Man.
Let me tell you what it was.
All right.
It was you know what? I've been living out in the country. I can go out for a nice meditative jog, and I can get high for an hour or so, and then it kind of fades away after that jog. That was the first experience I've had where, you know, since the 60s, you know, when I lived it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I've been able to stay high for 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
And I was really bitching.
Terrific.
I'm telling you, it was an experience talking to you, and I could feel your energy, and I loved it.
Thank you.
And I just enjoyed it. If people are looking for something like that where you can just feel free and be yourself, and I got to tell you, those trikes work great, too, because you're not focusing on balance.
You know, that's,
you can take everything in around you.
That's a very good point. Bicycling out at Burning Man can be problematic this year, especially because there was a lot of sand and bumpy, and the trike was beautiful. And what we're talking about is a three-wheeled bicycle, recumbent. So you're sitting back, pedals in front of you, and Ted was generous enough to loan me his for an afternoon, and it was sheer pleasure. It was terrific.
Well, I took that bike out, and my son had one also. And we didn't get back till the sun came up. And what I'd do is just roll up next to one of those little cans that were on fire doze off for a while, wake up and cruise off, you know,
yep.
go to the next spot and everything.
Listen,
so they work beautifully.
One other thing I want to comment on, and that is Ted brought out his adult son, and it was beautiful being with the two of you and feeling the way you guys interacted with each other. So I heartily recommend Burning Man as an opportunity for families to really connect with one another. It was beautiful to see the two of you guys together.
Thank you, and it was a beautiful experience.
Okay.
And you can call Tim Bell
regarding
that issue, and he'll give you my number.
Terrific.
I've talked to him about it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling in. It was a pleasure meeting
Chauvin,
you.
I'm sorry I called you so many different names down there.
You never did get to Chamba. Okay.
Chamba,
all right, you have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
I was wondering if you could tell me, isn't there some kind of like entry fee or something you have to pay to go?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Oh, can you explain how all that works?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
You buy a ticket, and the tickets, they start issuing the tickets around February or March. This year they started at, I think, $225. And they go up incrementally, and if you wait until the last week to buy a ticket, it's at least $300. And that gives you entry to Burning Man, and Burning Man provides the place, porta potties, roads, and they sprinkle the roads with water every day. And that's about it.
Yeah. Okay.
From then on, you're on your own. So at first, and I'll be honest, I avoided going to Burning Man for several years, even though my friends told me, because I thought the ticket was too expensive and they were ripping me off.
Uh-huh.
And I finally went out there, and it's worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the info.
Sure. Thanks for your question. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hello. Hi,
yes.
Chamba.
You're...
Hi, Maria.
Hey.
Hi.
Howdy.
Good afternoon. I was listening a little bit earlier. We were talking about the training grounds for law enforcement
yes.
out there.
Yes.
And that was my experience when we first pulled in. We came in Sunday morning about 3 o'clock, and it was my second burn, and the first year I didn't have any experiences with law enforcement. But as we were pulling in, I was driving behind my girlfriend who had a Volkswagen van, and as she hit the playa, the bumpiness of the playa created a short in one of her running lights, and so one of the very small running lights was out. And some federal BLM officers came in and pulled her over to the side. I was right behind her, but they separated me from her and pulled her over and proceeded to check out her registration and insurance information, and everything was valid. But her husband couldn't find his driver's license.
So hang on a second. The reason they pulled her over was ostensibly that she had a running light out. But once
right.
they got her pulled over, they went through their full routine.
Right,
which
exactly.
they had no reason to do.
Well, that's why a witness came forth, and the witness was actually an attorney who was standing at the border of the entrance to Burning Man and was looking to provide witness services to others who were, obviously there were many who were being pulled over for small reasons for them to pull
for let's call them excuses.
Yeah, little excuses. And what happened was is they proceeded to check the cars and such, and everything was fine, and they called dispatch, and his information came back fine. And they were a little punitive in the way they were questioning us, like questioning whether the car was stolen, even though they had seen the registration and the information on the insurance. And then the witness who came forth to give us some support was told by the federal officers to leave or he would be arrested. And he had an attorney card, and he presented that. And one of the BLM officers unclipped his gun. And we were all just completely, whoa, there was no weapons, there was no aggression. There was only a witness who was standing there offering witness services and happened to be an attorney. And at that, the officer unclipped his gun. And we didn't have any other negative experiences with law enforcement except for that one in particular.
Okay. And let's keep in mind that there is law enforcement from Burning Man has its own law enforcement, mm-hmm. which are very helpful. Mm-hmm. Then there's the county sheriffs. Then there's the, I believe there's some state officers, and then there's the federales, and you were dealing with the, your stories about the federales.
Yeah, the federales.
Yeah, exactly. And as usual, the federales are usually the most heavy-handed and nasty.
Yeah, it seemed like there were almost, there was like five of them on two people, so it seemed like it was almost like a training scenario.
Yeah, and this was 3 a.m, right?
Right.
Yeah, these guys are bored.
Yeah, that's what I thought. We thought.
Bottom line.
Yeah, we just kind of brushed it off and then set up camp and went to bed and woke up the next day with a whole new perspective and enjoyed the rest of the burn completely.
Mm-hmm.
And our favorite experience, of course, is just the community and how everybody just relinquishes themselves to the playa and to the experience. And within that, they become so transparent and so vulnerable that we just share such great experiences. It's just
wonderful.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Have a good afternoon.
Thanks so
See
much
you
for your call.
Okay,
All
bye.
All right, bye-bye. Breaking the calls. Maria, why don't you share your experience with us?
Absolutely. It was a different year this year for me. There were a lot of people that over the years that I've been that I looked forward to seeing, and a lot of those people weren't there this year due to different reasons. And
you and I were talking about that. It was almost a phenomena that we ran into a number of people who said, you know, I usually camp with this group of people. I'm the only one here from
mm-hmm.
that group.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange. So, and we have no way of knowing if that's an ongoing phenomenon or that was unique to this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hasn't been unique for the last five, but this year it definitely was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to all those people that didn't make it to Burning Man this year for whatever reason, we held you close to our hearts, and you were definitely missed.
Definitely. What was your favorite experience this year?
We'd been also chatting about that, and I have to say it was really the experience of the people that I met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the art was, some of it was wonderful, some of it wasn't so great. The art cars were fabulous, but again, the bottom line was the people that I experienced.
The connections.
The connections that you make with people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a tremendous sense of community. You have to remember that Burning Man takes place in the middle of the Black Rock Desert. There couldn't be a more inhospitable, more absurd place to have a family reunion. And yet that's what we do. And it feels very much like it's the gathering of the clans, the gathering of the tribes. Each camp has its own unique flavor. Nobody tells you what to do or how to do it. You can create your own ambiance. And it's fascinating just to go around from camp to camp. And one of the incredible experiences is you will be welcome at just about every camp you walk into.
Just about.
It's an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, another caller. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hi, this is Bella Moore again. Can you hear me?
I can.
Excellent.
Yep.
Well, just a few things. It was kind of neat this year. We did a little bit of prep time ahead of time to get a local Nevada County burner list going, and actually met a few burners here that we hadn't met before, and were able to connect with some of them out on the playa, and that was really neat. And the other cool thing about that is that some of them want to have a sort of a local decompression or burner bicycle ball or different events here. Somebody's got 10 acres in Smartsville, somebody's got some up Deer Creek Park, and so we're looking at doing some local events, and
terrific.
I can let
Yeah,
when
those come to fruition, let me know and I'll announce it on the air.
Okay, yeah, and if people look online on the tribes list and just look up NC Burners, Nevada County Burners, you can hook up with that tribe list as well.
Okay, so wait a minute. When they look it up, are they typing in NC Burners or Nevada County Burners?
Nevada County Burners.
Okay, they spell it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
One thing that I really enjoyed, my sweetheart Duggar was a volunteer with the yearbook photography group. So he took a couple of shifts just photographing people in whatever outfits they chose to bring and present to be part of this very informal yearbook group. And so I sat off to the side in that same camp on the Esplanade and did face painting. And it was really neat because I just picked somebody randomly and my face was painted, and I said, oh, would you like me to do this art design? Oh, yes, and pretty soon there's a line, and I've just got all these people. And most of them were first-time burners, and most of them were from other countries. So I met two Israelis. I met two women from Ireland. I met a woman from Germany. It's people from all over the world, and this was the first time they'd been to the country in some cases, and in every case, the first time they'd been to Burning Man. And they were so delighted and so thrilled. One guy said, I go to parties all over the world, and I've never seen anything like this. So that was a neat, just an intercultural exchange to participate
yeah, yeah.
in. That was very cool. I was also impressed with a lot of the self-policing that people were doing, and in particular, I really enjoyed the difference in feeling every year between the burning of the man and the burning of the temple. The burning of the man is raucous and frat house feeling and people cheering and the art cars and the thumping and the noise and the diesel and all that stuff. And then the temple burn is a very somber, spiritual kind of an event. And even though around the outer perimeter you get young people or people in art cars or newcomers who don't know that routine yet, who maybe cheer or try to be raucous about it, the quiet of the crowd quickly educates them that this is the tone that's being expected, and everybody quiets down and is very respectful. And even the art cars, even if they don't shut off, they at least shut off the thumping music and just let people have their own spiritual experience, whatever it means to them, with the temple burn. So I love that contrast between mm-hmm. those two burns.
Okay, so let's elaborate just slightly on that. The man is burnt on the Saturday night.
Right.
The temple is burnt on Sunday. So
yeah,
for those of you that are planning to go to Burning Man, we strongly suggest that you stick around. Don't leave the day after the burn. Stick around for the temple burn the next night and leave on the Monday.
Right.
It's really a powerful experience.
Yeah, very pleasant. And I agreed with you that many people do put remembrances about loved ones they've lost in the past, but I've also seen people write things about horrible experiences, pain that they've carried around like a ball and chain and that they're now choosing to let go of in this way.
Very good point.
Yeah, and so it may be people, it may be pets, it may be experiences, or just change, just moving on and letting go. And
mm-hmm.
And so much of Burning Man is about that letting go thing. You let go of comfort.
Right. <You know>. Big time.
You let go of clean fingers and scalp, you know. So
right.
There's a lot of kind of giving over to, and so I think the temple ends up being a giant culminating symbol for that whole week of letting go and letting in. So I really enjoyed that. And I didn't enjoy the art as much. This was only my third burn. I thought the art was incredible last year. It wasn't quite as capturing for me this year,
mm-hmm.
but I really got more into the people, and I enjoyed randomly ending up in different camps or even spending a lot of dust storm time inside the trailer of somebody in my own camp and getting to know the people I've been camping with for 3 years from Denver or from Texas
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and getting to know them on a very personal basis while we waited out the storm. And that was pretty amazing. I really enjoyed that piece of it. So
okay, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you. And hopefully people will join up with our Nevada County Burner List, and we can hook up locally for some local projects.
Okay, so if people are interested, Nevada County Burners.
Right, just go to the tribes list and look up Nevada County Burners.
Well, how do I go to the tribes list? I don't know what that means.
Google tribes, and it'll come up. It's a whole bunch of online meeting groups in different categories.
Okay.
And just go there and look up Nevada County Burners.
Terrific. Thanks,
okay,
Beth.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay, we've got another call, but before that I wanted to interject something here because I had a story of law enforcement, which was an interesting game. I don't know what level of law enforcement this was, and I forgot who told me the story, but they had dogs. And they came up to these people, very friendly, and they said, oh, pet the doggies, pet the nice doggies. And of course, the people would pet the dogs, and while the people were petting the dogs were sniffing the people for drugs. So, on-the-job training. Cops and their games. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Hi, thank you. This is my fourth year at Burning Man, and aside from the bad weather, I thought I spent more time also not looking at the art, as we were saying. The conditions were not so good for biking and hiking as much. So I spent more time with people, but I did want to make a mention of the commercial aspect. You know, we can't forget that this is not a nonprofit organization, and so they do have, you know, there's a lot of money exchanged in different ways as far as not the people who do art cars and so forth, but people who get art grants to do art on the fly and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there wasn't quite as much this year. I know they encourage people to take the RVs and to try to do something funny with the name so that there's not a lot of commercial stuff, you know, there. But people were not doing that as much. And also, there was some controversy this year naming the streets after cars.
Okay.
Which I guess you could consider a commercial thing in some way. I mean, but overall, I'm not a big critic of the festival. I think it's a terrific thing. But.
Okay. Yeah, and let's keep in mind that the naming of the streets is brilliant. The streets that radiate out from the playa are the numbers of the clock. So it's 3:30, 4:30, 5:30. So it's very easy to figure out the streets in that direction. And
yeah.
Then every year the streets that are, how would you say, okay, they're not fanning out. What are they?
It's like part of a crescent, I guess.
Yeah, okay, the crescent streets, they are alphabetized. And so this year they were alphabetized by cars. Last year they were alphabetized, I think, one year was by emotions. But the important thing is that they are alphabetized, and that means that no matter how far out of it you are, you can find your way home, or you can at least stop somebody and say, look, I live at 330 in Edsel. Point me in the right direction.
Right. I did notice as soon as I got there on Tuesday that some people had already defaced some of the signs, like Edsel. People had a stenciled eagle over it and things like that.
Oh, okay.
I think there was a certain amount of protest of of just that concept. I didn't think it was such a big deal myself.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. It's free expression.
All right,
okay.
Thanks
for your call. Caller, you're live on KVMR. Let me remind anybody that's tuned in late that you're listening to KVMR FM, broadcasting out of Nevada City, California. The name of the show is Rabble Rousing. Your host is Chambalane, and this is the annual Burning Man show. Okay, go for it. You're live on air.
Hi, it's Ellen. I'm calling back again. I just was listening to a lot of the things.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's quite a few calls, Ellen, so please get to your point.
I wanted to get to the point. It was really one of the things that was really, really stood out with me on the whole thing was, and I was listening, is the sense of community, because I didn't have a chance to see a lot of the art this time either.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to the law enforcement part, and I never experienced that, but driving out this time, we thought there was a whole law enforcement thing set up. It ended up being a hot dog stand that people set up in the middle, and people were donating all kinds of foods, and people were, you know, just cooking, and that's what we drove out in. But one of the most amazing things that I did was stopped at the post office to see a friend and ended up delivering mail. And if you ever have a chance to do that, it's really exciting because you get to know, you end up delivering mail to camps. It took me about 4 hours.
Oh, excellent.
And it was amazing. So, I don't know. The whole experience was different this year. I missed a lot of friends that I didn't see at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the experiences that I did have was very connecting with community and did meet people from all over the world, from Ireland, Argentina,
terrific.
Iran. So
okay. Thanks.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for your call. Yeah, I met a number of people out there that from Europe and various parts of the world, and they made Burning Man the focal point of their trip to the United States, which I find rather remarkable. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Hi, I just wanted to know if people got busted there for drugs. It's a free-form situation, and there was law enforcement there. Did people get busted? I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, thanks for your call. I don't know anybody personally that got busted this year, but I have known a friend that was busted previously. And absolutely, if you are blatant in your use of drugs, you will get busted. That's why the law enforcement is there. They may claim that they're there to protect you. That's BS. The Black Rock Rangers do a great job of protecting. So law enforcement is there for law enforcement. And according to federal statute, virtually every drug that's your favorite is illegal. Now, there's plenty of alcohol. Alcohol is really the dominant drug out there. But if you are smoking cannabis in public, you stand a great risk of being busted. It ain't worth it. Do it in private. Okay? Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hi, Chama. This is Dana. Wasn't able to be at the man in person this year.
Right.
But I wanted to tell everybody that I was able to watch it on satellite.
Really?
It was a live feed on satellite on, I believe it was channel 196.
Okay.
And it was for about 4 hours. And
okay.
Actually during the man, when the man burned.
Okay, now you've been to Burning Man previously in person. So when you watched it on the satellite feed, do you think it was an accurate representation? Was it biased? Was it clean?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It brought back all the energies that I had lost touch with over the last year not being there.
Uh-huh.
Except for the dust in my lungs from the fly.
Oh, well, listen, I've got plenty of dust. I'll give you some.
We can
Yeah, and so I just wanted to let everybody know that was a really amazing thing that they broadcast it live.
How did you find out about that?
Actually, a friend of mine called me and told me, hey, they had surfed the satellite, and they called me to tell me that, hey, it was happening. So I tuned in, and
great.
It was great. I was able to take my clothes off and run around in the living room and do my thing and watch.
Frighten all your friends and relatives. Terrific.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right.
Caller, it's your turn on the Burning Man Show. You're live.
Okay, Chamba, I've got a question for you. I've been listening to your shows for about 5, 6 years, however long you've been doing the...
Man, you got to get a life.
Right, I know.
Okay.
But the question I'm getting at is there a primer, is there a site, or do you have instructions as to somebody who would, let's say, be going by themselves? What do they do? How do they accomplish this and that? How do they get into a camp, you know, so forth and so on? I mean,
sure.
It seems like a very, very overwhelming experience.
Good question.
Great question.
And I'll go ahead and take it off the air.
Okay.
Okay,
and,
sounds good.
I'm going to answer it, and then I want Maria to answer it from her point of view. What I would do is burningman.com is a website, and they've got all sorts of links to all sorts of information because, of course, that's one of their functions is to provide people with as much information as possible. Then there's also... Through them, you get on a newsletter called Jackrabbit Speaks, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And that newsletter keeps you abreast of all sorts of things, not only current events, but it has how to do this, how to do that, how to do the other thing. And I would think that that site would provide you with an enormous amount of information. Do you know of anything else?
I'd have to agree. And once you get hooked into that link, the information will start flowing out to you. And you'll be introduced to people in that link, and all the information is there, from the survival guide to hooking up with a camp to
proper etiquette,
yes.
How you buy your tickets, how you get there, the fact that you absolutely have to be careful of your speed when you're driving through the small towns on the way because those are speed traps. There's all sorts of very practical information. They'll tell you how much water to bring. Extremely helpful. So I totally understand and agree with you that the idea of going there for the first time is daunting. So it helps to talk to people that have already been there, but the site that I mentioned, burningman.com, can give you an awful lot of supportive information.
And also, just one more thing, you're never alone at Burning Man. So even if you are really venturing out there on your own, you really won't be alone for long.
No.
Even if you want to.
Well, if you want to, you can go out on the playa and be alone, but you have to work at it.
Yeah.
You can walk into any camp, and you will be welcomed. It's embarrassing how much food I came home with because people were always feeding me. There's a plethora of food. It's really a lesson in abundance. Even though you're in the midst of scarcity, you're in the midst of an environment that's extremely hostile. There's no water out there. There's nothing growing, and yet there's people, and the people.
Yeah,
are
so don't not go because you may have to go on your own.
Yeah,
you will leave Black Rock City with people and connections in your life that will stay with you for a long, long time, if not forever.
Yeah, and it's extremely transformative. It's a very, very powerful experience. For some people, it's not always pleasant, but it's always growth provoking. And hopefully it'll be both pleasant and growth provoking.
Yeah. And I think for all of us who have been burners in the past, it's not always pleasant for any of us.
No, no,
that's
not at all.
That's just the way it is.
Ah, and I have a quote from one of my favorite people out at Burning Man this year, and that is the brutal compassion of clarity. I treasure that one because one of the things that Burning Man provides is clarity. It's clarity on your situation, clarity on who you are, because the bottom line is it's a blank stage. So whatever you bring out there is your stuff. And the way you interact with other people, that's the way you interact with other people. That's your stuff. And it's your stuff to deal with or not. It's your choice, but it's available. So it's a tremendously growth-providing experience. And we are nearly out of... We've got about 5 minutes left. So if anybody has any more last-minute phone calls... questions, comments, the in-studio numbers are 265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. And the phones are not lighting up, so I will take this opportunity to thank our underwriters. And again, if you have any last-minute questions or comments, now's the time.
I'd actually like to say something, Chama.
Please do.
For those who have never been to Burning Man, and even for us who have, the infrastructure of Burning Man is so incredibly massive. And we don't, I've only come into appreciation over the last few years of what really goes into creating that event. The people that are there for months beforehand, laying cable underneath the playa for generator possibilities, and just the infrastructure is massive. And there is, it takes a lot of money to put on an event like Burning Man.
Absolutely.
You know, now, the playa has to be rented from the state of Nevada.
No, it's from the federal government.
Okay, thank you.
From BLM. And that's an important point. BLM jacks up the rent every year. It's extortion. And the agreement is, and this is important for those people of you that are ecologically conscious, the agreement is that the playa has to be left in absolutely pristine condition when Burning Man is finished. And Burning Man goes to great lengths to make everybody self-police themselves, and then they come by and they clean up after everybody. There's a concept called MOOP, M-O-O-P, and that's matter out of place. Anything that doesn't belong there, pick it up. Don't let it hit the ground in the first place. And you say that they spend months ahead of time digging trenches to lay cables. After it's over, they have to cover those trenches, tamp it down so that the playa is pristine. And that takes a tremendous amount of energy.
So we can't take Burning Man for granted. Every year may be the last year for Burning Man.
Yeah, yeah. And BLM is extorting them. They're getting more money out of them every year and providing less because Burning Man is providing everything. BLM doesn't provide anything but the land. Caller, you're live on the air.
Hi, this is Nico calling for Chamba's.
Yeah, you're live on the air.
Hi, Chamba. This is Nico.
Yes.
Happy burn, after burn. Yeah, it's just amazing, so much art and people out there. I meet a lot of new friends, reconnect with old friends. And another great thing to be is at a hot spring after the burn at Sierraville Hot Spring, and just reenactment of the abundance of Burning Man.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank
okay.
you so much for hosting this.
Thank you.
And I'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to have to read the underwriters. No, we got time for one more call. Caller, you're the last call. You're live. Hello.
Hello.
You're live on KVMR.
Listen, my experience is with the burners leaving the Burning Man.
Yeah, would you turn your radio down, please? We can hear it in the background.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
My experience, I stopped at the Boomtown Chevron station, and the burners came in. And I noticed them, and because of all of the nice gray dust.
Yes.
And I asked them how it was.
Yeah.
And they said it was fine.
Uh-huh.
Immediately, I got hugged.
Ah!
Another group came in, a male and female, and we formed a hugging group. And they immediately after that, they gave me a gift.
Aww.
Each one of them gave me a decal.
How beautiful.
Have you been to Burning Man?
How great a feeling that was.
Oh, wonderful. So you haven't been to Burning Man yourself?
No, I'm a...
You may have to go.
Three quarters of a century, and I'm planning on going next year.
Far out. Fantastic.
Also.
Thank you so much for your call, and I hope to meet you out at Burning Man next year.
I look forward to it.
Okay.
Great call to end the show.
Yes, perfect.